you have your Bibles this morning, if you will find the 13th chapter of the book of Romans again. It should be somewhat familiar to you. We were there last week. We'll be there again this week. If you do not have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you, a black hardcover book. Feel free to pick it up and to use it. Maybe someone will notice you do not have one and they'll hand it to you. Simply do that because we love you and want you to be able to follow along with the preaching of God's word. We want you to know that preaching from the pulpit is not man's opinion. We believe it ought to be, thus saith the Lord. And so we want you to have a Bible so you can follow God's word as it's written unto you. My wife came into my office, put immense pressure on me today before the service. And I don't know that I appreciate it right now, but I may later. She said, you don't know this, but there's people here today that know your dad. Anybody that knows your dad puts great pressure on a young preacher boy. I'm so glad to have the Tharps with us down here. And my dad was his Sunday school teacher when he was a young man, and they have some ties. So needless to say, I think I'm glad you're here today, brother. No, I know I'm glad you're here. Knows my father-in-law and so on. And so I know I'm delighted that you're here. Romans chapter 13, I hope you've had enough time to find it. Last week, we began a discussion in the new year and a message on knowing the time. Knowing the time, not necessarily the hours and minutes of a day, not necessarily the chronos time, but time as it evolves the season, time as it involves the scriptures, time as it involves the ages of which we live in. And we went to the book of Romans. It's a marvelous book. Some call it the Magna Carta of the faith. It's just the fantastic book on justification and all that goes through that. And we rehearsed what the book of Romans was last week, and setting aside chapters 9 and 11 and understanding those. And you come into chapter number 12, and we saw the duties of the Christian as the Apostle Paul here pours out his heart and his soul, telling us that we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I do not know if you know this or not, but we live in a society that teaches that we own our body. We hear the movements that say that it is a woman's body, she can do what she wants, or it's my body, I can do what I want. But know this, according to the Apostle Paul, when a man trusts Christ as his Savior, I no longer own my body. It belongs to him. What, know ye not that ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. And so Paul said, hey, it's only reasonable service to submit our bodies as a living sacrifice that God could use. And it goes on through chapter 12 to explain how that would play out and to explain the different importances of that and distinguishing marks of that. He moves into chapter number 13 and begins to talk about authority. And it's funny how humanity has a tremendous problem with authority today. And we don't like authority. And I think that covers pretty much everybody in the room. There's an opportunity and a time where authority is cumbersome to us. Authority becomes a problem to us. And we know how to buckle under that and to feel the pressure of that. He goes on to speak about the authority of our governments and of our nation and of our leaders. And we have city leaders in our church today. And I thank God for you. Love you. Thank God that you're saved. Thank God you come to church. Pray for you often. Cannot tell you how much you mean and how much we bathe you in prayer. But he goes on to speak about our duties and loving mankind and owing no man anything. And really and truthfully, he boils it all down to an understanding and a position of urgency when he comes to verse number 11 of chapter 13. And he writes to them and he says, and that knowing the time, it's our responsibility as believers to know the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. He was letting the church know that it's no longer time to be lethargic. It's no longer time to just be back and to sit back and be apathetic. It's time again to be a force for evangelism. The sad part today in most of our churches around the country is we're no longer a force for evangelism, but I'm finding that the church is becoming a field for evangelism. And you can go to a lot of churches today and lost people are brought in and they're made to feel comfortable. You say, do you have a problem with that, Pastor? I do not have any problem if you're here today, if you do not know Jesus Christ, with you being comfortable. I trust when you entered the door, somebody shook your hand. I trust that somebody greeted you with a smile. I hope somebody let you know how delighted we are that you are here today. I'm delighted that you could stand and we could pray for you. And I'm delighted that you could come to this building. And I want you to be comfortable to that degree. But I do have a problem, and never let it be said with Plantation Baptist Church that we invite lost people into a position of comfortability where we teach them to worship without Jesus Christ. There's a big difference between a lost person coming in and a lost person sitting down and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ as opposed to making them comfortable to feel like they can participate in worship. The Bible says if we're going to worship God, we worship Him how, church? In spirit and in truth. And until my spirit has been quickened by the Holy Spirit, I'm dead in my trespass and in my sin. My body is alive, my soul is condemned, but my spirit is dead and it needs the touch of the Master's hand to be made alive. And then I have the opportunity and the blessed privilege, then the great command to worship our God. I just hear an amen on that. That's good. That's truth. Thank you. All right. Now, with that being understood, the church is to awake, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Well, Pastor, I remember trusting Christ as my Savior. Did I not get saved? Yes, you did get saved. The moment the Spirit of God quickened your spirit and birthed you in a new creation, you are eternally, forever, redeemed child of God, never to lose God's salvation. And so that happens, but there's also a process to salvation. There was a past process where justification was provided for me, where I have been saved from the penalty of sin. When I die, I will never stand before the Lord Jesus and give an account for my sin because Christ did it on that cross on Calvary's Hill, and I have been redeemed. So I'm free from the penalty of sin. Pastor, do you fear going to hell? No. You mean you can walk around and you don't fear going to hell? No, I don't. Why? Because the Lord Jesus went there for me. I never have to go there. Great illustration to that and the horribleness of that was found in the mouth of my daughter Madison. If she's in here today, she's not going to be happy with her dad. But I had the greatest time with my kids. I drive my kids to school. They go to a small Christian school, and it's about a 25-minute drive. And I went through the Sun Pass lane. If you have one of those Sun Passes, by the way, if yours has three beeps that are low, like your alarm clock, that means you need a new battery. I didn't know that, but you do. So I kept going. Finally, I got so aggravated, I called them. I said, this thing's broke. They said, no, it means you need a battery. I said, well, how do I do that? Well, you can't do it on your own. You got to go to Radio Shack. You know, you can't do anything on your own anymore. You have to pay to have it done. I can't do anything. Can't change my oil. Can't wash my car. I could wash my car, but I like paying to have that done. All right. So I had to go to Radio Shack. So Madison, loving daughter she was, she said, Daddy, what are you going to do today? I said, well, I need to go to Radio Shack. She said, well, where's Radio Shack? I said, it's by the dentist. She said, oh, Daddy, don't say the dentist. Don't say the dentist. It's the most horrible place on earth is the dentist. I thought, well, Daddy's got to go. She says, well, maybe it's not the most horrible place. She said, hell first, then the dentist. That's pretty good understanding. Hell first, then the dentist. I apologize to you dentists that are in this building today. I never stand. I lay my head on my pillow at night. No, in whom I have believed that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. So our salvation is from the penalty of sin, and I'm being saved now from the power of sin by the work of the Spirit of God, and praise God, one day I'll be saved from the presence of sin. My God, how is that not glorious to look forward to? And so the Apostle Paul says, now listen, the night is far spent. The rejection time of Jesus Christ is far spent. The day is at hand. At any moment, the rapture could take place. place. At any moment, the day of Christ shall appear, and that will set in vents the day of the Lord. It's right around the corner. It's going to happen soon, and it's time for the church to wake up and to understand that it's high time that we're the church now. We talked about all of this last week, and I got some great response. It's funny when you start talking about the rapture and you start talking about future events, people have opinions and questions, and so I got those this week, and I want you to know that I appreciated them. Everybody who asked me a question, I did the best I could to study that and to answer it, and I appreciate you listening. But we come to the Romans chapter 13 here, and Paul closes with the thought of Christ is coming back. And the night is far spent. The day is at hand. And so he's saying, church, Christian, if we are redeemed, and since we are redeemed, and since we understand, we should wake up. And then he goes on to verses 12, 13, and 14 and says that we ought to begin to clean up. Now, I don't know about you, but the very first thing I do when I wake up most of the time is begin to clean up. And I appreciate today that you cleaned up after you woke up, because you wouldn't like us right after we wake up. Amen. It's kind of nasty. And I tell them in my premarital counseling sessions, I say, look at her. And he'll look at her. I say, she's beautiful, isn't she? Yes, sir. You love her, don't you? Yes, sir. I say, and you don't think she'll ever change? She'll be the love of my life, my whole life. I said, you just wait till in the morning and things will change. Okay? Now, Pastor, I know why we wake up. It's high time. It's high time. By the way, it is high time for the church to be the church. It's time for the church to be the church. It's time to walk what we talk. Had many opportunities to witness this week. Witness to a Jehovah Witness and witness to a man who was just crushed. There are people in our city, listen to me, listen. There are people in your neighborhood, there are people in your family, there are people in your job that simply need you to do and be what God created you new to do and to be. Simply let them know that Jesus is the Lord. He's the Savior. And it's not hard to do that. They're hurting. They're blown out of their mind. They've tried everything. They no longer have anything to hold on to. And they literally are just clumps of clay stooped over a desk. And they're just waiting for life to end. But I want them to know Jesus came to give them life and give it to them more abundantly. And so the church, we should say that. But it is imperative that we're clean. And we don't like to hear too much about that. And to be truthful, it's not an easy subject to preach. You don't want to come in and I wrestle with that. But there is a cleansing that takes place from my sin when I get saved. But there's also a cleansing that's daily. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. And that's why this verse is written. And the Apostle Paul's writing here. And look at verse number 12. He says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Since the urgency, church, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness and in chambering and in wantonness, not in strife and in envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a responsibility to God's people to be clean. There's a responsibility for God's people to be different. There's a responsibility for God's people to know and live in light of the new creation that God has done. I'm going to give you three reasons why our lives ought to be clean. Number one, because of the time. If you're writing notes, because of the time. Number two, because of who we are. And number three, because of who he is. Would you look at verse number 12? Pastor, why? Why do I need to be clean? Cast off the works of darkness. But he says there in verse number 12, let us therefore. Anytime you read the Bible, the word therefore is therefore for a great reason. You can never read the word therefore and not pause. And when you pause, you have to make sure you understand the context before that. If you read the word therefore and you're thinking about your list of things you're going to do today, you're going to miss what God has for you. And so the Apostle Paul, in writing all about the new life, in writing all about the laying down of our lives, in writing all about the authority, and writing all about our salvation, he says, let us therefore, because of the time, we need to be clean. We need to be right before God. And so, you know, the Bible does state that the coming rapture ought to be a motive to us. It really ought to be a motive to us. I need you to walk with me. Now take your left hand and put it on Romans chapter 12, right there on that Bible, and then begin to take your right hand and flip back to 1 John. Let me show you what our responsibility is in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Find 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We've seen God's love. It's in the person of Christ. For God so loved the world. If you're here today, black, white, yellow, red, Indian, I don't care. If you're here today, saved or lost, God has expressed and showed his love to you through Jesus Christ. For the love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now he's speaking here to people that have been saved. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, that's funny, because back here in Romans chapter 11, I read that same word, now it is time. Verse number 2 of chapter 3 of 1 John, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, that is the rapture. That's when Christ splits the sky, doesn't touch the earth, but he remains in the clouds. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him does what, church? Say it. Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So the understanding of the Lord Jesus is coming back to get me, desires for me and leads me to a position of purity. Why? Look up at chapter 2 of 1 John. Look at verse number 28 as he gives the answer right here. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, there's that word again, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. My friends, listen, the rapture of the church can happen at any moment. God's people said, okay, the light of that and the understanding of that, that at any moment we can be caught up to him, puts within us a responsibility to be pure, for we know not when he's going to come. You see, everybody, I wrote a couple things down. Well, Pastor, there's some signs. You study your Bible, and you ought to. The Bible says you ought to study your Bible. Nowhere, and when you find it, you come and show me. Nowhere, when it comes to the rapture of the church, is the church ever told to look for a sign. We're told to look for the person of Jesus Christ. Well, Matthew chapter 24, Pastor, says, well, there's going to be all kinds of things. There's going to be rumors of wars and wars. Let me explain something to you. Matthew chapter 24 is not the rapture of the church. It's the tribulation period. You lost no sleep last night, and I don't mean to be trite here. And God help me not to be trite. But unless you have a child in Iraq, you lost no sleep over the war last night. I slept great. I went to bed about 11 o'clock after the Saints won the football game. And I woke up at 6:30 this morning, 6 o'clock actually. I slept great. There's wars all around our world. That don't bother me. You see, it's no big deal to have wars and rumors of war now. But after 3.5 years of peace, and when the Antichrist has led the whole world to a position of peace and belief in him, and they think it's all going to happen, there's peace, 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 and peace everywhere, and then they begin to hear about wars, my friend, that's when he's talking about in Matthew 24. You know why we want a sign? Now, and get this and take this because you need it, and I need it. I want a sign of the Lord's coming, the same exact reason that Joshua wants a sign when his dad's coming home. My dad believed in corporal punishment. Matter of fact, my mom did too. She could hit pretty good too. When my mom and dad would go away, my dad would say, I want this, this, and this done. A lot of times I would say, when are you gonna be home? Now, why would I ask when you're gonna be home? Because I got a lot of things I wanna do before I have to get to that. And here's what I'm afraid. I'm afraid that the church wants a sign of when the Lord is coming so we, like little children, can just slip in at the last moment. Yeah, so I think, well, you know, and if you're here today, sometimes as teenagers, they think, oh, I don't need to get saved right now, because if my mom and dad go up in the rapture, I'll immediately drop on my knees and I'll ask Christ to save me. The Bible says you'll be in hell. Won't happen. Well, Pastor, you know, I think as I so much the more see the day approaching, I've got time. No, what he said in Titus was this. He said that the salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The responsibility of the church is to live in light that he could come any moment and take us out of here. And when he gets me, I don't want to be found ashamed. I want to be found knee deep in the fight, sleeves rolled up, souls in each hand, my family with me, serving the Lord. But we got to understand that he said because the time and the rapture is coming, we need to have our lives clean. Now look what he told us to do. And that's one opportunity. Number two, because of who we are. In verses, I don't have time to take you here, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10, he tells the church that we are of the day. We no longer walk in the light. Look at Romans chapter 13 and look at verse number 12. He said, let us therefore, that therefore is because of the time, but let us, who's the us? The us is the believer. The us is the church member. Let you, sir, and let you, ma'am, who name the name of Jesus Christ, and let you, young person, who say you've been saved, let us, keep reading, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk honestly. Would you please go to 1 Thessalonians? Even if I don't get to point number 3, I got to give you this. 1 Thessalonians, you got to see this. You have to read it with your own eyes or you won't even understand. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, watch this. Pastor, why should I cast off the works of darkness? Because of who you are. There is a difference between a saved man and an unsaved man. There is a difference between the church and the world. And we better understand the righteousness that lives in our heart. We better understand that what we've been called from. And if I go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, in verses 13 to 18, we have the understanding of the rapture. And we know, and there it is. And look at verse number 1 of chapter 5. He says, but of the times and the seasons, what's that word? Next word, say it. Say it. Everybody say it. What is it? Brethren. Brethren, ye. Ye ties to brethren. Okay? It's the same ye and the same brethren that's found in verse 13 of chapter number 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Verse number 1 of chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. See, they were worried that the resurrection had passed. They were worried that they were going to have to go through the tribulation. They were worried that things were going to happen to them. Now keep reading verse number 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. I've been there. It's sudden, brother, believe me. And they shall not escape. Okay? Now, notice in verse number 3, for when who? Say it. For when they, we're no longer talking about ye, for when they shall say, peace and safety. Look at the end of verse 3. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, okay, so he's talking to two groups of people. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light. This speaking to the Christian and the children of the day, we are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they, that's them, that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who's the us? The redeemed child of God, the one who says, I've been saved by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the one who believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. Let us who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath to go through the tribulation, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And God's people said, amen. You see, because of who I am not a child of darkness. I've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. There was a time I walked in darkness, but I've been freed from that. Paul said the power of sin no longer should reign in my mortal body. Now go back to Romans 13, Christian, and see your responsibility. Your responsibility is to cast off the works of darkness. Fling them away. Well, Pastor, what are the works of darkness? Well, they're rioting, in verse 13, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, and envying. And most of us go, whew, because I'm not envious of anybody, and I don't know what those other words mean, and I don't drink alcohol. So he's not talking to me. All right, well, let me tell you what they mean, and I mean this with all kindlessness, but you listen to what the word rioting word. The word rioting here carries the idea of a feast and drunken orgy, protracted till late at night and indulging in revelry. Chambering is the word intercourse. It's the word of sexuality. Wantonness is the word unbridled lust, excess, licentiousness, shamelessness, and insolence. Envying is the word jealous and envious and contentious. Lust is the word craving and passionate desire, whether it be good or bad. And in this case, what is he saying? He's saying, church, clean up. Those are works of darkness. Cast those off. We don't live in the darkness. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed and we live over here. So that's my responsibility to cast them off. But look at the other responsibility. But put on the armor of light. Now, I ask you a question. Why do you need armor? Why would anybody in the world need armor? Protection, because you're in a battle. When our soldiers go to battle now, they get armor. Remember the big chaos about armored plated vehicles? Our policemen wear armor. If Saul, when David was getting ready to go, wanted to put him in armor. The only reason you wear armor is to protect your life, because you are in a battle. Christian, listen, we are in a battle. So Pastor, I don't believe that. Ephesians chapter 6 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we are in a battle against principalities, spiritual powers, rulers in darkness, and we as believers need to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now let me describe for you your battle, because you may not see it. Your battle is your children. I didn't start with your wife, because you understand that one. We'll start with our children. But we are in a battle for the souls of our children. We're in the battle for righteousness. We're in the battle for truth. We're in the battle for missions. We're in the battle for poverty. We're in the battle for health. We are in a battle for the glory of Jesus Christ. And you enlisted in this battle when you received Christ as your Savior. And so you need armor. And so we cast off the works of darkness and we put on the armor of light, found in Ephesians chapter number 6. All right? And for sake of time, I'm not going to go there, but you study that. So once I cast off the works of darkness and I put on the armor of light, then my responsibility comes into play in the walk. In the walk. Now the word walk there is the conducting of oneself. It carries this idea. A person should conduct themselves in a manner befitting their high station in life as the saints of God. It's in a decency and an ardency. It is an outward vision of what took place inwardly. Now, we live in a day where we teach people that salvation is only inward, it's not outward. Let me teach it to you this way. Nobody in this room will get to heaven, will have salvation through works. Nobody. God's people said, okay, nobody will be saved by works. But don't miss the flip side of this from the book of James. I may not be saved by my works, but once I have salvation, salvation works. What do you mean, Pastor? That means once the new creature's been created, then the old things are passed away and all things become new. So you don't ever want to go to a church where they tell you, well, salvation is just in your heart. It better be way more than in my heart. It better be affecting my whole body. It better be from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And that's why he said, with the mouth thou shalt confess, and with the heart I believe. But salvation is not something that I can just pack away in here and bring out. It dominated my whole life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And so as we look toward 07, church, and as we look toward the battles we're in, and you look toward your family battles and the spiritual battles, it's the casting off and the putting on and the walking in an order that I've been saved. That's our responsibility. Well, what's the believer's walk like, Pastor? Well, it involves new life. It involves faith, love, Christ-likeness. Those are the things that are done and testimony to the work of God that's been done in my heart. That's why Paul's writing here and saying, listen, wake up, clean up. The night's far spent. The day is at hand. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Understand we're in the battle. Walk honestly as in the day. And then he summarizes it in verse 14 and we're done. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Pastor, why do we clean up? Because of the time. Why do we clean up? Because of who we are. And number three, because of who he is. Now I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ never failed at anything he ever did. Do you know that he never tried to do anything? Sometimes I hear people say, well, God tried to do this. My friend, God doesn't try, God accomplishes. The Lord Jesus, when he gave his life on that cross and every ounce of blood was spilt for him, he accomplished paying for our sin in its total entirety. And what Paul is telling them here is this: when you strip it all down, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean, Pastor? That means understand that he is all in all. Understand that in him is all truth. Understand that he is all we need. Understand that he is our very life. Understand that if I want to walk on this earth to the testimony and glory of God, I submit my life and I robe myself in the person of Jesus Christ. I put on his armor, who is him. Watch how this relates. Spiritual armor, there's truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, salvation, the word of God, and faith, all right? If you're taking notes, you'll never keep up, but understand this. When it comes to the truth, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. When it comes to the armor of righteousness, we are told in 1 Corinthians that Christ Jesus is made unto us righteousness. When it comes to the armor of peace, I find that Christ is our peace. When it comes to the armor of the helmet of salvation, I find that God only is my salvation. When it comes to the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God, I find that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. When it comes to the faith part of our armor, I find that Habakkuk said, the just shall live by his faith. Galatians 2:20 says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this: putting on the Lord Jesus Christ means I cast off the works of darkness and I lay my life down as a living sacrifice. I robe myself in the armor of the Lord Jesus and I say, not my will, but thine will be done. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, if I walk in the Spirit, then I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I'm done. And here's how I'm done. Verse 14, he says this: put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. My flesh, my sin has been defeated. The power of sin has been broken, but flesh still rises its ugly head. It sure does. How do I not make provision to feed the flesh? I walk in the Spirit. Now, don't get this backwards, because this helps us. Sometimes we put the proverbial cart before the proverbial horse. Doing right doesn't make me spiritual. Doing right doesn't make me spirit-filled. Don't teach your kid to go out there and do everything for Christ so he'll be spirit-filled. And don't teach him not to do the works of the flesh so he'll be spirit-filled. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible said, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, the labor of an obedient life is not in my ability. It's in my understanding that all I need is found in the person of Christ. So I reject that. I reckon to be dead with Christ. I reckon that the sin has been broken in my life. And by faith, I place myself at the submission of the Lord Jesus, robe myself in him, be led by the Spirit of God, and then I go forward in Jesus' name to victory. And God's people said, man. So church, listen, we're in a battle. I told you this last week and we're done. We won't come back to this subject again for a while. There is no church in America more strategically placed than our church. None. We have the greatest opportunity. Believe me, hear what I'm saying. We have the greatest opportunity of any church in America. Nobody has the door open like we have it. Nobody. We have the world at our doorstep. It's time for us as a group of people, and we're seeing the blessing of God, and we're seeing souls saved, but let's go forward. Let's realize the time is near. Cast off the works of darkness. Robe ourselves in the armor of light. Submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus, and go forward in the conquering name of our Savior to the glory of God. Amen? Now, if you have a battle, a spiritual battle, right now in your family, and you know, that the enemy is after and you need God's help. Could I see your hand? Sure, sure. If you could not raise your hand, my question is, oh, we're just missing it. But we need to wake up and we need to go forward. And don't let it be said of Plantation Baptist Church that almost every seat is full and so now we're done. We're not done, because when you turn out that road and you get to Sunrise Boulevard, we've already passed thousands of people who need Christ. And when you go west and you go east, you're going to pass thousands of people who need Christ. And when you go north and when you go south, there's a whole community that need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need us to be the church. Amen. Shall we pray? Stand if you would. Heavenly Father God, it's not a hard message. There's no hardness to this message. It's just truth. God, everything that was said is supported from the Word of God. It's not Pastor Hunter's philosophy. It's not that I'm mad at anybody. It's not any of that. It's that I understand that the Word of God told us to wake up. I'm included. I got to cast off my filthy works of darkness. And God, I'm the leader. I better be robed in there and put on the armor of light. And I better walk. It's not just them, it's me, God. My kids need to be saved. My kids aren't born again yet. God, my family needs help. God, my neighbors have no idea about God. They're washing their car today. And then I'll go home and I'll go in my house. God, they need to see our jobs and our relations. It's time to wake up and know what God has called us to do. God, I pray for God's people today. I pray that we would take courage. Not that we would hide in some hole, but we would confess our sin, cast off those works, and put on the armor of light. It's not that we have to be embarrassed and you don't want us to. You want us to be right with you. So help us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Say, Pastor, I've never been born again. I never received Christ as my Savior, but I know I need to. I know if I was to die, I would go to hell. That's what the Bible says. I don't want to go there. I want to know Christ. I want to be saved. I have a will, and I'm willing to turn and give my will to him in my heart. I just don't know how, but I want you to pray for me. Don't embarrass me, Pastor. Pray for me, Pastor, that I would have the truth of God in my heart, that I'd be saved. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand if that's you. I won't embarrass you, sure, and slip it back down. Or is there another? Put it up and put it down. Sure. Maybe another, someone else. Pastor, here's my hand. I'm not saved today. Pray for me, Pastor. Church, maybe we need to come today and by faith cast off our works of darkness and put on the armor of light to the glory of God. Maybe you're in a battle today for your home, your marriage, your children, your job, righteousness, or truth. Maybe you want to come today and do business with God. Your coming may inspire somebody to come and be saved. If you raise your hand to be saved, if you would simply just come, take me by the hand, I'll be down here. I won't embarrass you. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady take you. If you're a man, I'll have a man take you and lead you to Jesus Christ today. The first step is up to you. You must take it. Heavenly Father, God, meet with us now, I pray. God, give courage. May God's people do business with you. Protect us now as we sing our song. In Jesus' name, amen.